just thinking down there, I've preached, in the last 30 days, I've preached 26 times. And so all I do is go to church. And if I'm going to have fun, I've got to have fun at church. So if you just want to laugh a little, it's okay. But not only have I preached 26 times, I make it a habit. I try to read a sermon every day in print because that's a different skill set to read something than it is to hear something audio. But I also try to listen to a sermon every day, audio. And I was listening to a sermon this afternoon preaching. It was right along the lines that you were saying. He wasn't preaching on missions. He was preaching on things that bring joy to our lives. And he started his message by saying, and it was just incredible to me, in the United States, we spend $50 billion a year on our pets. 318 million dollars a year buying Halloween outfits for our pets. I stopped my stopped the podcast and I just said, "Lord, he's got to have that wrong." I don't think he has it wrong. $318 million to buy an outfit for our cat. Lord knows what he had on that horse. $500 million on Twinkies. On Twinkies. They stopped making them. And they, I guess they said, that was $500 million. They started making them again. He went on with a half a dozen other incredibly, incredibly insane numbers. Now, here was my thought as I was listening to that message. If there are believers in those statistics, they are going to stand before the Lord someday and regret a Halloween costume for their pet if they pass their faith promise card in with less than what God would have had to give to missions. They're going to regret that. And then I thought this, the wonderful thing about being a member of Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church is that you have the opportunity to live without regret. You have the opportunity to make the decision, boy, there's a lot of things I'd like to do, a lot of things I'd like to have, but the one thing I want more than anything else is to stand before the Lord and not wish I had given more, but to see His smile, and to hear His acceptance, and to see my works survive that fire and realize that giving sacrificially was exactly the right thing to do. I'm just telling you, this matter of regret is a big deal. And we want to be people who make the decision, I could do what everybody else does, but I want that moment before the Lord where there is no regret. And if I'm going to experience that, it'll be because I hold no reserves and I make no retreat. Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm just going to preach for a few minutes tonight. Watch this. I'm taking my watch off. Oh, that feels better on my wrist. Okay. I want to preach on this topic tonight. And I honestly know you're exhausted. And I know you're tired of hearing me and tired of hearing about the old gray mare, the horse. But I really do believe this can be a help. And I want to preach on this thought, God's promises to those that will go. God's promises to those that will go. We've talked all week about giving and the need of others to hear. But I'm telling you, God takes the other side of that equation as well. And he makes some very wonderful promises to those that will go. We'll do a Bible study tonight. Let's start in Matthew 28. I know you know this passage. Let's look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'll just rehash for a moment what is so clear in that. That is the Great Commission given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has said to us three things very clearly. I want you to go and teach all nations. The word there indicates that we are to make disciples. We are to go to every creature, and we are to lovingly and tactfully but clearly tell them that they are sinners. And because they are sinners, they have no hope of eternal life. They are bound by their sin. But there is one who can break those bonds, and they can be saved by faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And if they will trust him and trust his work by faith, an amazing transaction takes place. Their sin goes and is placed on him, and he pays the penalty for their sin, and his righteousness is imputed to that person by faith. And when God the Father looks at that person, he no longer sees them in their sin. He sees them clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is for every man and every woman of every nation, of every color, of every creed. And God is imploring us, take that message to the world. And then to baptize them so they identify with their new Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then plant a church so that we can be there for a lifetime, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us to do. And I want to emphasize for just a moment the importance of that church planting, because we are getting away from that in our day. We are becoming interested in everything else, every other good work, every other kind of work, but it still takes a church. And we need to support church planting missionaries, because only a church there teaching for a period of time will change that person and allow that culture to be changed. We need churches. But I want you to notice that as Jesus was meeting with those men and giving them this commission, I want you to notice something that happened before the passage we read. Go back to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Take a moment and think about what is said there. Because when we read that some doubted, it could be that our first thought is, oh, they're not believing the resurrection. They're not believing that Jesus really rose from the dead and is before them today. That's not what this means. That word means very simply that they were wavering. They were wavering in their commitment as to whether they could do what the Lord was telling them to do. Because for some time now, he had been talking about going away, talking about leaving them. And they had spent the last 3 years walking with him and listening to him and seeing him work and hearing his promises and hearing his word taught. And to think that they now had to face this world without him, it scared them. It startled them. And they wavered as to, can we really do this? And I love God. Jesus not only gives them the commission, but in giving them the commission, he gives them this promise. And lo, I am with you alway. The first promise he makes to those who will go in his name is his presence. He will go with you. Hey, listen, he will go with you if you're just going across the street to witness to your neighbor. He will go with you if you're going to the hospital or the rest home to witness to someone there. He will be with you in your classroom if you decide you're going to witness to some of your teenage friends or your students and classmates. He will be with you if you purpose to tell those that you work with that Jesus loves them and can save them. And He will be with you if you get on an airplane or on a boat and you go across an ocean to a place that you do not know and you've never been, and you are the strange one, you're the unusual one. He will be with you. I tell you, there were times when I started the church, there were times when people would come down and from Pittsburgh, where we were working for 4.5 years, and they would come down and knock doors with me. My parents would come over from Kentucky, and they would watch the kids while my wife and I went out and went soul winning. And there were time or two where other churches would come and help us pass out tracts. But I found something out. The novelty wears off. And about 3 months into it, the people from Pittsburgh can't come down anymore, and mother and dad can't come over anymore, and the people from Virginia have got churches and things to do, and my wife had 3 children to watch, and many is the time that I have found myself walking the street by myself and wondering if all those people had forgotten where I was and forgotten what I was trying to do. And many the time, when discouragement was ready to set in, the Lord would whisper into my heart, I'm with you. I'm with you. I go with you. And to each of these missionaries, I think of the Gilberts in the darkness of that place for 6 months when you do not see the sunshine. And you wonder, does anyone know where you are and what you're trying to do? And Jesus will whisper into your ears, do not waver, I'm with you, I go with you. And one of the sweetest things about going in His name is His promise. He is with us. I want you to notice a second promise in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I think He meant that because we read it over and over, don't you? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me just stop there and say there's a great doctrinal lesson right there. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But then it goes on and says, but he that believeth not. The emphasis on salvation is never on the baptism. It's on believing. We get baptized because we believed. But you don't go to hell because you didn't get baptized. You go to hell because you didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now look here and listen to me. There is a confusion about this passage. The importance of this passage in our day is not that the sign gifts are still available for our time. There was a time when tongues were valid. There was a time when just the shadow of Peter could heal a man. There was a time when an apostle could drink wine, drink poison, which is wine, and get snake bit and live. Those sign gifts have passed away, but the principle of this passage has not passed away, and that is this: God will protect those who go in His name. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. God knows what protection is called for, and God will protect you. I've seen over the days and the years parents who discourage their children from responding to the Lord's call because they have some other dream for their children. And if not some other dream, they have some fear for their children. My friend, I assure you this, your child is safer in a mud hut in the jungles of the darkest part of Africa eating monkey meat in the will of God than they are on Route 219 in Garrett County, Maryland, out of the will of God. And I don't care if they've got a six-figure income. I don't care if they've got a great title. The safest place to be is right in the will of God. And God does not call and abandon us. God calls and protects us. And only in the will of God can difficulty touch us. One of my favorite biographies about a missionary is Darlene Diebler Rose. I don't know if any of you have heard that name, but her book is called Evidence Not Seen. And Darlene Diebler Rose and her husband were missionaries in the Polynesian Islands, the Pacific Islands during World War II. And just as the Japanese began overtaking those islands, they were captured on an island, and immediately the Japanese separated her from her husband. Her husband was killed in a death march. Darlene Diebler Rose survived the war, but she wrote down her experiences, and one of the themes of her biography was the protecting hand of Almighty God on her and how God used her in that extremity, in that difficulty. When she was captured, she could not keep a Bible, but she had torn some pages out of a Bible. It was the closest thing that she had to a Bible. She kept it hidden on her person, hidden in her bedroll. When the American planes would come over the island, the prison camp, the labor camp, and they couldn't distinguish which was Japanese and where Americans were, they would begin to bomb the camp. And the Japanese would make their slave laborers go out and lie in a bomb-proof ditch. One day, they ran them out there, and only under the penalty of real punishment did you run back in or go somewhere else. But what Darlene Diebler Rose realized was that she had left her few pages of Scripture in her bed. And she couldn't bear the thought of those Scriptures being blown up by a bomb. And so she got up out of her ditch where she was supposed to be and ran back into that barracks. The ladies were screaming at her, "Don't go, they'll kill you, they'll beat you, don't do it." But she felt so strongly that God wanted her to get that Scripture. She went in and found the Scripture, heard a large explosion, and when she came back out of that cabin and headed over to where she was, there was a smoking crater where a bomb had hit exactly where she was, killing those that were with her. I'm not pleased to tell that story, but I am telling you this. We serve a supernatural God. We serve a God who can do amazing things, anything, and God can work in our lives and on our behalf. And God does protect us. And do not discourage your child from seeking the will of God and seeking the mission field. I'm going to get personal tonight with Brother Gilbert. I know his father and his mother. We've become very good friends. And in speaking, one time, just as parents speak to each other and sometimes preachers speak to each other, he said, "Yeah, Pastor, we never said it out loud, but we prayed for someplace, any place but Greenland. We don't mind them going there, but we don't want to go see them there." No, I didn't say that. Man, it was a father and a mother saying what their heart was for their child. God, send them someplace easy. Send them someplace comfortable. Send them someplace convenient. And then at the end of that conversation over coffee and cake, they said, "But we trust the Lord wherever God calls them and wherever God places them." And I want to tell you, don't discourage your child from seeking the will of God. Encourage them to lay their heart out before the Lord. Encourage them because God will protect them. And by the way, there's no age where God cannot use us. And stop telling yourself you can't. Just trust God, for God can protect you. Turn with me very quickly, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and let me show you another promise. Luke chapter 24, and look in verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power on high. From on high. Do you know what that power is? Do you know what that endowment is? It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Spirit is going to fill them, and the Holy Spirit is going to enable them. When we read and understand this word power, here's how we need to understand that. God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to make them able to do what God wants them to do. God has called them to do something. God has commissioned them to do something. And God's promise is this: if I call you to do it, if I call you to labor in a way, in a place, I will endue in your life the power, the ability to do what I've called you to do. Sometimes we think it's up to us. If God calls, it's up to Him. Our responsibility is to be available. He will give the ability. I look at Brother Wheeler. How in the world did that man learn Spanish? I'll tell you how. It wasn't Lacey Wheeler. It was God's Holy Spirit. God made him able. How in the world did I start a church? I guarantee you, I'm the most amazed man on the planet that God did what He did at Heritage Baptist Church. But there's the important statement. God did what He did. It wasn't what Mike Edwards did. God made me able. How in the world are McKinney's going to go to Bolivia and learn that language? If I remember, somebody has to learn two languages. Do you have to learn two languages? Nope. What's that? Well, act like it anyway, for my sermon. They're going to have to go learn a language. You've got to learn two languages. I knew somebody had to learn two languages. Speak up, young man. How are they going to learn two languages? They're not linguists. I mean, they're bright people, but how do you go learn two languages when your mouth's so cold you can't talk any of them? And I told you, I only go to church. I got to have fun here, okay? I'll tell you how you do it. God makes you able to do it. Well, preacher, I'd go soul winning, but I just don't think I could do it. You never could. But if you'll surrender and go to your neighbor, God will go with you and God will enable you. Well, what if he asks a question I can't answer? Here's an amazing thing. Say, I don't know. I'll find out. But more often than not, God will give you the ability to guide that conversation where you can be a witness to that person. Stop putting God in your box. Stop telling God you can't, because He can. And God is saying, if you will go in my name, I will enable you. I will endue you with power, with ability. Look quickly, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Look at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Can I remind you of what the Lord came to? Can I remind you when His incarnation came to pass and He lived on this earth? Can I remind you that not one day of it was easy? Every day of His public ministry, there was adversaries. There was argument. There was persecution. It ended up as horrible as anyone can imagine. I'm not saying that's how mission endeavors end up. I'm just saying to you, He said, listen, as My Father sent Me, so send I you. And then He says this, in the midst of all that, there's peace. I had peace. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that is unexplainable. Peace when things are so difficult you don't know how you'll take another step forward. Peace when you can't see what tomorrow holds and you want to understand and you want to move forward but you don't know what to do and you don't know where to go and you don't know how to do it. Peace that God has called you. What preacher said just a moment ago was so essential. If you know you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, let the storms raise. Because I can have peace in my heart that I am with the Lord doing what the Lord wanted me to do. Well, there'll be days in Greenland and Bolivia, and I'm sure there have been days in Mexico where you just don't know how you're going to, you just don't know what to do. I'm sure there'll be days on deputation when you're so discouraged, you just don't know what to do. God says, peace, I know where I'm taking you. I know what I'm doing with you. I was talking to this gentleman over here, and I forget names, but I told him, I said, when we were in Bible college, people would ask us, what did you live in? What did you live in? I would just respond with one word, poverty. I mean, we had nothing. We had sick kids. We would put 50 cents in our gas tank, and wherever it ran out, that's where I would park the car until I got 50 cents more to go get it with a can of gas. Now, this was back in the 70s, and it actually bought 2 gallons back then, okay? Many a day I would see my wife leave with the 3 children, and she'd be pulling a little red wagon with the laundry in the wagon and the kids sitting on top of the laundry because it was 25 cents cheaper with the machines 3 blocks away than where we lived. For a 3-month period, we ate. Could you play the violin and make this real sad? 3 months period, we rotated. We would buy the kids' food, but we had no other money for our food, and we would eat Kraft macaroni and noodle dinner and pancakes, and we'd go back and forth for 3 months. Every other day, we did that. Somebody should feel sorry for me. Now, here's how I finished that conversation, and you'll give testimony. They were the greatest years of our life. Because they took 2 kids who weren't saved more than 1.5 years, and they taught us how to be a ministry team. They taught us how to support each other. They taught us how to trust God. They taught us how to kneel down at the side of our bed, my wife weeping because her children were hungry. Me deeply concerned because I'm not providing like I want to provide. And God would take that young couple in their 20s with those kids and with His call, and He would simply speak peace into our hearts. And we would get up off our knees and say, we can do this. I love pancakes. We can do this. Now, if you ask my wife tonight, would you ever like to relive those years again? Nope. Would you ever trade those years? No. Because we learned to trust God in those years. I'm just telling you, I don't care what the circumstances look like. God speaks peace to those who will go in His name. Here's last, and I'm done. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God promises power to those who will go in His name. I'm not talking about ruling power. I'm not talking about magisterial power. I'm talking about the power of influence. I'm saying that God can do through a man what a man can never do. I remember the days when I started preaching, and it would be almost an embarrassment to bring some of those sermons and re-preach them. They were that bad, humanly speaking. And yet God was able to do something through that and use them. And God put influence in His Word, not my mannerisms, not my methods, not my intelligence. There's none of that. But God puts power on His Word, and His Word influences lives. And listen, you may not be the fastest talker, and you may not be the most winsome, glib person at a door, but if you will go in God's name with God's Word, God will put influence on it. We just got to go. We've just got to go and trust God. Say, God, here's what you said. You said, if I go, you'll go with me. You said, if I go, you'll protect me. You said, if I go, you'll enable me. And you said, if I'd go and the circumstances are bad, you'd put peace in my heart. God, you said, if I'd go and speak your word, even with my stammering lips, you would put influence in your word and the ministry of your word. Hey, you know what God's looking for? A bunch of people who will say, I'll go. I'll go to the field. I'll go to my neighbor. I'll go to my family. I'll go to my classmates. I'll go to my workmates. I'll just go. God, you use it in only the way you can. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for this time you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word and the promises you make to us and those who will go. That promise is for everyone, not just missionaries, but it certainly is especially for missionaries. Lord, I pray tonight that there would be a group of people, a bunch of people, who would stop limiting what you can do in their lives, who will not go because they're timid or because they don't think they're able. They're not. God, you've made promises to those who will go. And if they will just trust you, just trust you, just trust you and go. If you're calling them to a field, go to that field. Oh, I can't be a missionary. Yes, you can, because God can enable you. Oh, I can't witness to my classmates. Yes, you can, because God can enable you. I can't witness to my family. Yes, you can. Stop putting God in your box. Trust Him. Step out. Say, God, your promise says you will go with me. Your promise says you will protect me. Your promise says you will enable me. If it gets difficult, you will speak peace to me. And you will use me to influence those you send me to. God help us. God help us to make ourselves available to the King of Kings. Now tonight, if you're here, why don't you just give yourself to go? Hey, maybe there's truly someone in here, a young person, young family, God's been stirring your heart about a mission field. I'm not saying you have to decide to go tonight, but why don't you make yourself available at this altar and just say, God, I'm willing. Maybe there's some in here that God's stirring your heart about a family member that needs to know Jesus, about a friend at school that needs to know Jesus, about somebody you work with that needs to know Jesus, and you've just been so hesitant to go. Hearing how God promises to go with you, you'd make yourself available to Him tonight. Father, you work. This is your invitation. These are your people. There's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior. Oh God, you'd save them tonight if they'd come. So work in our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you quietly stand to your feet? The pianist is playing.